Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey guys, back for episode 3 of The Apprentice season 1, episode called Respect. In this episode, Donald Trump is going to ask the two team to go head to head in the challenge of who can negotiate the highest markdown on a set of items. Right, so you'll have again the man versus the woman, and the goal is to get the highest discount on a set of items. So, as always, we're going to hear a couple of clips that we will comment. The first one is a lesson directly from Trump. So, let's go straight into it. The art of the deal.
Negotiation is a very, very delicate art. Sometimes you have to be tough. Sometimes you have to be as sweet as pie. You never know. It depends on who you're dealing with. I've always said that negotiation is not really learned. It's almost innate. It's in the genes. A negotiator is born.
All right. So very simply here, we understand that negotiating is a dynamic process, that the rules aren't very fixed. It depends on you're speaking to. Sometimes kill him with kindness is better, right? Sometimes being very sweet, very friendly is the right approach. Sometimes being very tough is more appropriate, right? So and that's why Trump is saying that it's not taught, it's innate, because you can't really teach to someone how to have the right response or the right attitude towards negotiation. As a rule, it's really an instinct. And when are you tougher? When are you kinder? When are, you know, where do you draw the line is really on a per situation basis. And that's why it doesn't fit the mold of cookie cutter textbook college, university description. So essentially, for him, the art of the deal is innate. It is innate, and he's going to ask of his apprentices, right, the contestants, to really use that skill and show him who can negotiate the better deal. Next clip we're going to see is very interesting. It's Trump taking the time to go see kind of the underdog of the competition, the one who is most badly talked about. And this is going to echo Trump's, mantra that all publicity is good publicity. And in a way, we see that the guy who made the most noise, even though it was not in the most productive way, he did get Trump's attention. So listen to the next interaction, and you're going to see that Trump goes out of his way to greet someone you would not otherwise think he would stop.
Sam, yeah?
I hear you're in charge.
I am in charge, Mr. Trump. I am the coach of this team. How are you doing today?
Well, we're going to see, because the men are taking a big beating.
They have
you turn it around?
I have already turned it around.
I didn't even know you were so short.
You want to shake my hand?
Yeah, I want to shake.
You really
do? Give me a hint. How's he doing, fellas? All right?
Tom Landry always takes charge.
You think they maybe made you the team leader to
get rid of that? Is possible.
Well, you know how that doesn't happen? If you win. Good luck.
Thank you. Have a good day. That was one of the biggest moments of my life, shaking that man's hand. He is my mentor.
All right. So first of all, we see Trump is extremely respectful and courteous to go out of his way, shake hands of the, you know, he's intrigued by the underdog. Because he has a fight in him. He does. He's creative. He can, you know, speak for himself or stands out from the crowd. And he often says this is either going to be like his great success or his great downfall. But Trump is intrigued. He is interested in other people, especially those who are trying. So I guess what we can learn from him is that by putting yourself out there and doing the effort, you do catch some positive attention. And here, there's another lesson. And Trump basically is telling him, right, he understands that that Sam has been picked as team leader, so that if his team fails, he is one of the three candidates potentially to be ousted. And at this point, after three losses, it's most likely, you know, it's going to fall on him. And Trump gives him a very sage advice. And this advice is echoed in other business literature, say from Jeffrey Pfeffer in Seven Laws of Power. Essentially, it's seventh law, basically that success it justifies, you know, the in a way that if the outcome is positive, then it excuses the eccentricities of the person. He tells him, you know how that doesn't happen, how he doesn't get kicked out of the show and still has a chance to be the apprentice, is if his team wins, and in a way, you know. Success is the ultimate revenge, right? It's often said, and we can clearly see how it makes sense that ultimately the outcome will the story is told by the winners, right? So if he manages to pull the first win for the team, then he can completely reverse how the script is being made. And same story for Trump, in the way that he reshaped the Republican Party. He was an outsider to the Republican Party, and he came with his own vision, truly his own vision. He understood what the Republican electorate, he really reached out to him and also to other, you know, center and other members of the American public. And he made all his support coalesce around his vision. And winning, the fact that he won overwhelmingly in 2016 and in 2024, it's the outcome gives him, proves that he was right. In a way, so it proves all of his critics wrong, and it validates all the people who believed in him, and it kind of the doubters, the people who doubted him, are, you know, to not go too much on that topic, of course they're a bit, you know, they have to go revisit their assumptions, to say the least. And this is a very satisfactory feeling for Trump. We'll see in some of his books, he's going to make references to how revenge in certain ways, like via success, is a very wholesome feeling. And so this is a some of the mentorship he gives to Sam ahead of the challenge. All right, so we're gonna pursue and go a little further. So I'll sum up the episode. The women, of course, they were more successful at negotiations. First, they went for for items that had a bigger margin. So if the woman, for example, went to a golf store, I'm going to play a short clip of that, and they negotiated a good amount off of the club, whereas the men want to try to negotiate gold, and gold is really set at market prices, and they were much less successful in getting a discount. So we'll just hear a clip of one of the women closing a discount on a golf club.
So how about cost plus 10%? You're making money.
Yeah, cost plus 10% to your ideal here.
For $300, you got yourself a deal.
$300, I give you.
Okay, there we go. We got a deal.
Mm-hmm. And here we just witnessed getting a $120 discount on golf club. So one that should be $419, one for $300. And that's because the woman knew that that this was a high margin item, and they proposed a solution that was win-win, in that the club owner was making a profit, and they were kind of, you know, asking him to make this concession for the sake of the competition, and he kind of felt sympathy towards them, but he was still winning. He was not at a loss, whereas the men, when they were trying to negotiate percentage points off of gold, they were literally trying to get gold at lower than the market price. And it was a very tough, you know, they weren't able to pull it off. So ultimately, the women win again, and Trump is going to congratulate them. And notice you're going to, you know, encounter something very interesting. Remind you, this is 2004. So this is really one of the first times you see an equal board, women and men. We talk a lot about equality in the workplace and have, you know, having, you know, elevating the role of women executive. And you're going to see this is, Trump is surrounded on his right. He has a male advisor. On his left, he has a female advisor. And he has the two teams fight off each other. And the team of women is exceptionally competent. Trump is admirative of that. And I'll let you listen and add some comments.
I'm starting to think that I may never hire a man again. I'm very disappointed in you guys. All right, look. The men lost, the women won. That's that. To celebrate, here's what you're going to do tonight. You're going to have dinner at the world-famous 21 Club. Now, my father was a builder in Brooklyn and Queens. His biggest treat ever was the ability to go to the 21 Club on occasion with his friends and have dinner there. And he had one table that he loved. That's my father, Fred Trump. And you're going to have dinner tonight at the Fred Trump table at the 21 Club. So you're going to enjoy it.
All right, so Trump treats the winning team to a table where his dad wants to celebrate business deals. So it shows, you know, a generous personality that, despite his status, he is open to share some of the most intimate and, you know, prized, sentimental, you know, places, things. As we saw in the first episode, he did give a tour of his private apartment. Now he's treating the women to a dinner amongst themselves at his dad's favorite restaurant and at his habitual spot. And we'll see how the women react to that. They're very grateful, of course. And of course, they are going to repeat the fact that he said, you know, what he said about the fact that he feels that women in this case were more competent. And this just dispels some of the myth about Trump and, you know, some of the false characterizations. We see that he is indeed very much pro-competence. And when he recognizes it, when he sees it, he recognizes it, and he goes for the more competent person, regardless of gender. And in this case, absolutely, it was a woman. So here we're going to hear their initial reactions.
This is where Donald Trump ate when he was little. How many deals have been made at this table?
Yeah. Yeah. How about Mr. Trump's comment about never hiring another meth again?
Right. So they noticed that, and that was 2004. So it just if you watch the show, you're gonna see, you know, how he was good at spotting talent and at recognizing talent, regardless of where it comes from. And now we're gonna segue into the probably the final clip for today, and this is kind of the assessment done with the men after the women are gone for fun. The men have to face an elimination, and in the elimination round, basically, it's kind of the time to examine what went wrong. What went wrong, and I'll let the clip play. It's going to be self-explanatory for most of it, and we may comment.
You know, as a man, I'm so disappointed with you guys. I don't know what's happening. George, what happened this time? I mean, this is just nuts. Sam, you were the team leader.
Yes, I was. Well, I think we had a successful plan, and everybody understood the plan. And at the end of the day, although everyone did try, the plan was not implemented.
Is it Sam's fault, do you think, fellas? Kwame?
Yeah, I think it is Sam's fault. If you look at how the overall procedure broke down, we knew that the golf club had a large spread and we could negotiate. We also knew that the leg wax had a large spread. And that's where we got beat on those two items. $119 on the golf club, and $50 or so on the leg wax.
So what did Sam do to mess you up?
So we were on our way to get the leg wax. We immediately got a call around 11:30 or so saying, you must go to buy the gold now before noon. Gold is not going to change based on whether you buy it before noon or not. And also, there's not a lot of margin in it. And we said that. We still got, look, you know, we did our research. You've got to leave Chinatown now and go get the gold.
The problem with the golf clubs is we were furnished two numbers. The second number we called, the store didn't even carry golf clubs.
Right.
So we're sitting here looking at each other. What kind of backup?
But you went to a golf store.
Wait a minute. That's when we were kind of perplexed. Like, this is the number. This is the address you gave us to go buy the golf club.
You have to I
called the store and they said, we're sorry. We don't even carry golf clubs, sir.
Nick, you think Sam's a leader?
I think he displayed leadership qualities during the task. Whether or not I would have made the same decisions, I'm not quite sure.
Do you guys think Sam's a leader?
No. And here's why Sam's not a leader. When we have to all, the rest of the team, tell Sam, calm down. Stay calm, Sam. Stay calm. That's not showing the shine of a good leader.
What about you, Kwame?
I think he's already shown some success, but in your role, no, I don't think he'd be capable.
I think it actually comes down to respect. If I had respect, true respect.
Did they not respect you, Sam?
Not everyone.
Who did not respect you?
Kwame and Bowie.
Do you respect Kwame?
I respect everyone at this table. I have not earned the full respect everyone at the table.
I would say that's it. That's probably the most true statement that you've made.
And I can't lead until I have that respect. They can't make
it. You have to get the respect.
I do.
You have to earn it. And if you don't earn it, you have to demand it.
Right. And you know what? Yesterday, I could have demanded it better. And that's what I'm learning. But I am a leader.
But they don't respect you, Sam. So look, Sam.
All right. So respect is the name of the episode, and we see this is kind of the theme in this feedback. Sam is complaining that he doesn't have the respect of his teammates. Trump is telling him it's true that he doesn't seem to be respected. Carolyn is advising that he should demand respect. But of course, we hear in the feedback from the colleagues that there are many points of improvement for Sam. The first one, Kwame is saying how they were giving him feedback on, they were close to negotiating a discount, I think in Chinatown or downtown, but he was rushing them to go more to Midtown for the gold negotiations, right? And he made it a point for it to be right before noon and he didn't listen. So this is the first point. He did not listen to what was the reality on the ground. So if you're leading a team, before you set the direction, of course, you have a direction, you know where to go based on your own management, but listen to your teammates, listen to people underground. They have more insight into the reality than you or your own managers do. So the fact that he didn't listen, right, that was minus one under on the mutual respect. Secondly, for the sending them to the wrong golf address, right? To a golf store that doesn't carry golf clubs, right? The item list was clear. They had to negotiate a golf club. If he sends them to a golf store that doesn't carry golf clubs, it's a lack of preparation. And here, if you know, people trust your leadership, people trust your command, they believe you've done the research, you are sending them physically to an address. They believe at minimum you have made the call or you know what's waiting for them there instead of just sending them to the first address that popped up. And once they realized that that was the case, right, that there was no proper preparation, no proper care, again, a minus one on the mutual respect there. So first we mentioned, right, the lack of listening. Now is the lack of preparation or lack of care. And finally, Bowie mentions that Sam is not a leader when his emotional intelligence has to be put in check, right? So he needs his subordinates or his teammates to calm him, right? So the role of a leader on the opposite is to lead on the emotional intelligence front as well. It's to be there for his, like someone who coaches sports team. You want the coach to have more emotional intelligence than the players, to help them navigate their emotions and the ups and downs, not the other way around. And here, it's the other way around. So another minus one on the respect front. So to summarize on the respect, just if we hone it, focus in on why on why the men lost again and the specific team dynamics here that eventually got Sam fired, despite of the potential that Trump saw in him, it's that he did not truly listen to his teammates, right? He didn't make them feel heard and he didn't actually listen, so he didn't really know what they meant and why they meant it. He was not prepared, right? He has a flaw of overconfidence and kind of like just willing things into existence. It's a good quality, but it can also backfire. So we can draw a quick example here from Steve Jobs, who's of course known on the management front to be kind of he wills the deadline he has in mind, and somehow his subordinates make it happen in time. He gives impossible and things worked at Apple that way. But when he was faced with his pancreatic cancer diagnosis, he kind of thought that he could just wish it away instead of following his doctor's advice to have surgery. And I believe that was one of his regrets, that he did not listen to, right? He was not open to input. That's what it's meant. He has a vision, but if he's not willing to adjust it based on real life realities input, then that's a cue that there may be a mistake. Second one, of course, was that a lack of preparation. Lack of preparation is a bit disrespectful. It's kind of like arriving late at a meeting without proper communications ahead of time. It shows the other side that there is a lack of care. And here, the fact that he sent them to an address not fully having vetted it, you know, either it shows incompetence or it shows a lack of respect, a lack of care for people who trust you is a lack of respect. So preparation equals caring equals respect in this regard. And finally, as a leader, Sam is expected, or you in your position of leadership are expected to keep your head cool a bit longer than the others and to stay level-headed and to kind of see the bigger picture and help calm others if there's a momentary turbulence. not the other way around. And a sign of a good leader or a good manager is one that can stay cool and help his teammates navigate. If you're the one that, who needs the help, then you're more draining resources rather than adding resources. And so that's good takeaways on the leadership front that we can take from this episode. And on the negotiation front, as we said at the beginning, every situation, every person is a bit different, right? So you have to adapt the style. And that's what Trump believes negotiation skills are innate. They're not taught. Really. It really goes down to the instincts. Are you tougher? Are you kinder? What works better depending on the circumstances? It could be surprising what does work at the end. But basically, there's a whole range depending on who you're dealing with and what's at stake. And we saw a great move from the women's team is that you negotiate on items that have a high margin. So it's easier for the other side to meet you, let's say, halfway and still feel like it's win-win. If you go try to negotiate something that has no margin, you want to eat at the profits or, you know, make them lose even on their quality basis. It's not, you know, it's not a winning, it's not a winning strategy, as we saw here. So anyways, I hope you like this episode and stay tuned for more. Thank you for listening.